Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
On the Savage Nation. You know that Santorum is beginning to act like mucus that sticks to your finger. No matter where you try to wipe it off, it's still there. Remember when you were a kid and occasionally you would stick your finger in your nose and you try to get rid of that mucus and you'd wipe it and it would be on your finger and you'd rub it under the chair and it would still be there? That's like Rick Santorum. Everywhere I turn, there he is. Now, when he first started out, he had somewhat of an appeal. He was humble and had that aw shucks, you know, the vest thing. The family story was good. But now he's got that fixed media smile, and he's just become downright mean. He reminds me of a kid with a D-plus average who's trying to get into Arista. He reminds me of the kids who would not be admitted into Mensa. He reminds me of the kids who desperately try to get into fraternities and nobody wanted him. He reminds me of the kid who wanted to play shortstop, but they wouldn't even hire him on as the catcher. Santorum is acting like mucus that sticks to your finger. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I thought I would open on a high note today, since apparently the high road doesn't work in the media. I would open on a regular note, which is Santorum's beginning to look like mucus. There's a couple of amazing stories out here. That's not the biggest one, although he is acting like mucus, and it's time for him to be wiped off the slate already. Take a walk, you know, go sell your book or whatever you're going to do, Santorum. You're hated across America. No one likes you. Did you see what Obama said to the Supreme Court? Did you see he threatened them? You didn't see that. You did not see this? He was at a press conference with the presidents of Mexico and Canada, and he threatened the Supreme Court justices. He didn't take a shot at them. He warned them. He warned them that a rejection of his communist socialized medicine law would be an act of judicial activism. And he said that they better not do it. That's what he said. So, again, I'm sorry I have to be so right, but I warned you that trickle-down tyranny is more than just a book. I warned you that my book, Trickle-Down Tyranny, is as real as it gets. I warned you that we have a petty dictator in the White House. I warned you. Over and over again, the man is showing who he really is. He threatened the Supreme Court. If you think I'm making it up, please go to the article itself. It's linked on michaelsavage.com. It's on the left side. Here it is on the right side. Obama warns unelected Supreme Court against striking down his communist health care law. He warned them. He threatened the Supreme Court. What do you make of a thing like this? There's also a great review of my book from the Conservative Beacon. It's the only place that has reviewed the book, which leads me to something that I feel I must say, which is about the Republican establishment media complex. Let me explain what I mean by that, and then I'll read you the menu from my birthday party Saturday night. In fact, I'll read you the menu first. I saw that a menu from the Titanic just brought $130,000 at auction. I can't find the audio. Here it is. Menu from Titanic's last lunch sells for $120,000. Well, maybe the menu from Dr. Savage's big birthday party from March 31st, 2012, which is printed on beautiful paper. This paper is more valuable than the paper the dollars are printed on. We had it done on really good stock. Included these items. Tell me if you would have. Tell me which you would have chosen if you were at my party. You know what kills me? Here's what kills me. My son had a cake made up for me of a microphone. The cake was 3 feet high. You never saw anything like this. Another cake he had made. Of a radio, a giant radio, I swear to God, it was a cake. I thought it was a radio gift. I asked someone who works for me to get me a picture of it for my website, and they didn't even get it for me for today. It just showed. I can't work with people. I don't get along well with others. I got a D in it in the fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. Gets along well with others. I always got a D. I don't know what it is. So I try to work alone, but no man is an island. Which one would you have ordered? You would have come into the dining room. It was 50 people, 50 friends, in a little private dining room of a restaurant, March 31st, Dr. Savage's big celebration. You would have had appetizers during the... You would have been greeted with a glass of Dom Perignon champagne. Yes, it is French. Yes, otherwise I will not drink champagne. It's poison. Most champagne is horrible. Headacheville. But I drink Dom. It's very good wine. I drink it once a year. Then you get the appetizer. You get the watercress soup, which is a house specialty. Now, would you have ordered the poulet, the French chicken, or the filet of petrole sole, the grilled lamb chops, the veal piccata, the grilled New York steak, pepper or béarnaise sauce, the two duck special, one leg confit and one breast grilled, sweetbreads or rock cod. The dessert consisted of various desserts, birthday cake, coffee, or tea. I don't know if I can get any more political anymore today. I don't think I can take it. So let me go back to regular programming. The Republican establishment media complex. It's an interesting fact, really, that my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, is coming out tomorrow, which is probably the worst time for conservative books in years. I happened to speak to someone today, very high up in the literary world, publishing world, and... He said that conservative books are taking a big hit right now. Did you know this? And this is at the same time that the Tea Party is fading into oblivion and the Republican Party is fractured. Now, why is this? Now, given the fact that Obama is perhaps the most unpopular president of the modern era, given Obama's huge popular rejection at the polls in the 2010 elections, given the massive unpopularity of his signature legislation, which is socialized medicine called Obamacare, this should be the strongest possible time for Republicans and conservative authors, and yet both are faring poorly. The question is why? Could it be that the vast majority of Republican candidates, like the vast majority of conservative books, have no real message? Could it be that you've heard it all before? Could it be that in both categories, they have nice covers but no real content on the inside? Could it be that the empty suits in the Republican Party are mirrored by the empty pages in the so-called conservative media written by people like Wallbanger and the Leprechaun, where they show their picture and there's nothing inside? I'll let the Savage Nation decide. What is clear to me is that real conservative books do not get play in the so-called conservative media. Books by genuine conservatives are not reviewed by The Golfer, not reviewed by Fox News Network, not reviewed by Breitbart. This is because there is a Republican establishment media complex that will actively promote members of their own club and refuse to promote anybody else. But the Republican establishment media complex, while it claims to represent conservatives, really represents nothing but the establishment and its own self-serving interests. Now, why has the Republican establishment media complex blacklisted Michael Savage? Because time and time again, I revealed them to be just as complicit in the destruction of our nation as the Democrats. The Republican mainstream media complex is just as dangerous as the Democrat mainstream media complex. You have to stand up to both of them. You have to stand up to their duplicitous media duopoly. I need you to reject their stranglehold on America by flooding bookstores tomorrow when Trickle Down Tyranny is released. In fact, I even called for you to do flash mobs tomorrow. I had a vision of little groups of 50 to 100 little old ladies with gray hair and umbrellas racing into bookstores around America demanding that Trickle Down Tyranny be put on the front stands. Flash mobs. I don't know. Do seniors do flash mobs? I don't really know. Do they do that? There's a lot of other news out there that's shocking. There's one shocking quote. I'm a little queasy to even quote it to you because it doesn't make sense to me. You know Van Jones, the guy who wanted to be something and really got nowhere, just, you know, shock value guy, thrown out of the green thing by Obama. He said that Obama wouldn't lose the black vote even if Obama came out as gay. When I first read it, I thought he said Obama wouldn't lose the black vote even if he came out as gray. You know, but it doesn't have an R in it. I said, now, what do you mean? What is this, a signal? Why is he saying this? You think this guy's stupid? You're mistaken. Leninists are not stupid. Communist revolutionaries are not idiots. So he goes on to General Electric's thuggish MSNBC, and he says with a smile, I think President Obama came out as gay. He wouldn't lose the black vote. A cheerful Van Jones told MSNBC this afternoon. President Obama is not going to lose the black vote no matter what he does. That's shocking. There's another little thing. I watched the show Mad Men. I've never watched Matthew Weiner. I'm not watching it. First of all, it's boring. Number two, they made her fat. They fattened up January Jones for some role. You know, she's married and bored. She put on weight. I mean, what's the point of taking the most gorgeous woman since Grace Kelly and making her fat for shock value, Matt? And more, I'm talking to Matthew Weiner now. And another thing, Matthew Weiner, I hope this gets to you. You're way over your league. You're way out of your league right now. You're over your head. Your series is stinker. It's a stinker. Why'd you have to take a shot at Romney's father? You think that's going to make people like you more? We know what you are. You know you're a left-wing hack. Mad Men is overrated. It stinks. Don't watch it. That's my review. There are a few other things, light things. What else? Trayvon Martin. You heard what went on with that one? That NBC edited? Did you send me that, Beowulf? I asked you for it 8 times. Did I get it? Yeah. NBC edited the 9/11 tapes to make it sound like the guy who shot this poor kid was said something about him being black. They made the whole thing up. When I come back on the Savage Nation, I'll take your calls on this. Well, on what? No, I have to say something more punchy. When I come back right here on the Savage Nation, I'll take your calls on, well, I don't know what. I'll take them on something. I'll be back. Savage. How do you feel about President Obama warning the Supreme Court against overturning the Obamacare law, calling the Supreme Court an unelected group of people? Now, if you had a brain in between your ears, you'd understand that when I say he's a tyrant and a nascent dictator, you would know that I'm the smartest man in the radio business. But the fact of the matter is, I truly don't know what's happened to America. The Tea Parties have been scared off by the Congressional Black Caucus, and by the unions who threatened to take them out, and by the FBI taking their pictures. And now we have a president threatening the Supreme Court of the United States. I never heard of anybody doing this in my lifetime, calling the Supreme Court this unelected group of people. You know, sometimes, every once in a while, every few hundred years, a man comes along who knows what's going on. I'm one of them. I didn't get where I am by being just a jokester and telling you how to make a meatball. I don't hold on to this job on radio and as a best-selling author simply because I have such a pretty face. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. Can you compare that to anybody in the conservative media? You know, anyone who's written a better line? I want you to name someone who's written a single better line. Nobody can beat me as a writer. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. That's how I open the book, Trickle Down Tyranny. And so, what can I say to you? I ask you a question then, which is, why has the Republican establishment media complex blacklisted Michael Savage? If I'm so smart, if I'm such a good writer, if I'm so on target with everything I've said, why am I blacklisted by the Republican media establishment? I'll tell you why. You can tell me why, right? You can tell me why. You can tell me why I'm blacklisted. That's all. It's that simple. You tell me why I'm blacklisted. New York, WOR, Pauline, why? Go on, you just tell me what you're calling about, first of all.
Basically, I was just calling to agree with you with your opening statements about other talk show hosts on the conservative networks that put you down. At first, I was leery of what you were saying, but then when I heard them put you down, one talk show host in particular, I said, you know what? Michael is right. Michael is right. And
well, I know who you're talking about. He's a talentless hack. He was put on the air only to block me. He's a lawyer, right? That one, that creep, that ugly little creepy guy who the guy who has a voice like Groucho Marx's grandmother having a hysterectomy without anesthesia.
Yes.
Yeah, he's talentless. He won't be around much longer because, unfortunately, as Rush goes, he goes too. He's nothing. He's very jealous. Everyone knows he's a hateful man, and he won't be around long. He's not going to. The fact of the matter is, I'm asking you why others have blacklisted me. Wouldn't you think that I should be on Fox News whether they like me or not?
Because you're so right on, Michael. You put it out there like ahead of time, and then as the information comes out, you're proven right. You go out there ahead of everybody else.
You know, there was a lawyer who wrote something a long time ago, a really fine attorney. He was a very famous attorney. I forget his name. He said that when wait, I know who it is. It was he used to have an office in San Francisco. I forget his name. It was Melvin Belli, a tort lawyer, a real scoundrel, but a very fine lawyer. And he had an office in downtown San Francisco in the red brick building area. I used to walk by it, and he used to have a big sign over his desk. And it went something like this. It's a bad parody that I'm going to give. I can't remember it all. Something like, is that when you're leading the other dogs, when you're the head of the dog pack, all the other dogs only see you're behind. Okay? So naturally they're going to bark at you. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
So I don't take it personally. You know, it's the mark of people who are Lilliputians in that regard. Can I ask you something? I'm going to send you a free copy of my book. Were you planning on buying it tomorrow?
I was, actually, yes.
Why do you think that I heard today that conservative book sales are down in America? What do you think happened to the Tea Party and to conservative book sales? Why do you think they're down?
You know what, Michael? I don't believe what I hear because I don't trust the media. The Tea Party is still there.
Right. It's like Mrs. Savage said, what do you mean Obama's popular amongst women? Which women, she said? Who did they interview? People at a Michelle rally? What do you mean women? What women would answer such a survey?
I don't believe.
Right? What do you mean he's a popular amongst women? Who? On welfare? Welfare recipients and people in the Democrat Party? Who do you think they asked? I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back. So Obama gets together with the dictator of Mexico, I mean the president of Mexico, and he says things that are like from another planet. He says that these people are the supreme, these people who are unelected better not knock out Obamacare. What in the world? You don't see this for what it is? Who does Romney look like? You know, I look at people, sometimes I try to say, I keep looking, what is he reminding me of? What is he reminding me of? What is he reminding me of? And I look at him, and a bingo, it goes off. Romney looks like Reverend Billy Graham. And the longer the campaign goes on, the more he's starting to resemble him. Santorum, the more I look at him, I said, what is he? Looks like Beavis.
Hey, Newt. Hey, Newt. That Romney. Let's get Romney. Hey, Newt. Newt.
Questions for the Savage Nation. A left-wing blog is trumpeting Ann Romney for her ability to attract female voters to Mitt Romney's campaign. You know, and I know, that Ann Romney is not a good thing for his campaign. I said so last week, which is why the left-wing blog is recommending that Romney should be using his wife more. Right? It's the same reason Van Jones says that Condoleezza Rice should be picked by Romney. He knows that that would destroy his chances. What do you think? The enemies of Romney are saying these things because they like him? But the campaign is being run by such doofuses that they're liable to listen to Van Jones instead of Michael Savage. They have a blueprint to defeat Obama right in their hands. My book. Do you think that one of Romney's campaign aides would go out and buy this book and read this thing and learn something from it? You know they won't. They'd rather listen to an enemy like Van Jones than listen to me. And that's why Romney is likely to lose. The politics of this election are in total play. Anything could happen. They need ideas. They need fresh ideas. They don't need... See, the people who are running Romney's campaign have failed already. You don't even have to ask, am I right or wrong? Everyone knows I'm right. In other words, just by dint of the fact that people saying what's wrong with Romney, why doesn't he have any traction, means he should fire his entire staff. He should get rid of them. But he doesn't even understand that he's not winning. He's not got any traction. Of course he's winning in Republican campaigns amongst Republicans. But that doesn't mean he's going to win the election. He's not got any traction with the base. The base is what makes or breaks Romney. And the fact of the matter is he has no traction with the base whatsoever because he doesn't like conservatives. In fact, he has contempt for conservatives. Advice to the next president, the savage worldview. Economies can be rebuilt. Armies can be repopulated. But once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. The next president must love America. The next president must embody unequivocally everything that is good about this country going back to its founding. The next president must be the exact opposite of Barack Obama. He must be a man of high character and strong commitment to American values. You want me to go on? I'm not going to read from my book. You can go buy it. I'll read you one line and you tell me if I'm lying. I'll tell you what, if I'm lying, don't buy my book. Obama's economic policies have caused such an enormous rise in the price of the necessities of life that his administration has removed energy and food prices from its financial analysis in order to avoid telling the American people just how bad inflation is. I realize that that's a long paragraph for most people who went through the American educational system. They blanked out after the first two sentences. So let me repeat it in simpler language. Obama and his administration are such liars that they have removed, they do an analysis, okay, about what inflation is, 8%, 9%, right? But most presidencies have included the cost of goods, including gas and food. The crooks in the Obama administration have cooked the books by removing gas prices and food prices from the price of goods in order to keep the reported level of inflation at the distorted statement that they make. If I'm right, then buy the book. If I'm wrong, don't buy the book. If you know anyone who's smarter than me, who's written a book recently, don't buy the book. If you think you've heard all this before, don't buy the book. If you'd like to learn something you don't know and walk around with your head not where you think it might be, but where it should be, I'm recommending that you educate yourself. But more importantly, just you walk this book around to work. Trickle-down tyranny. You put it on a desk and you see how tolerant your liberal friends are. Can I ask you something? Do you intend to be part of a flash mob that descends on a bookstore in your area to buy Trickle-Down Tyranny tomorrow? Are you one of the little old ladies who's going to do social networking and send, we're going to be at the B&N store on 5th Street tomorrow with umbrellas, and we're going to demand that the clerk put it out front? A recent survey has revealed that the top car for Republicans is a Ford Mustang convertible, and the top car for Democrats is a Honda Civic Hybrid. That's an interesting statement unto itself. Every time I'm cut off on the road, it's by a lib in a stinking little Prius from the right lane. You ever see how mad they get if they can't cut you off? This is the most amazing thing. They're like the cheaters on the highway. They're in the right lane. They're not supposed to pass you from the right lane, right? And they try to pass me. I won't let them pass. First of all, I don't like people cutting me off, but they're breaking the law. They get mad at you. Right away, they get mad. They start screaming in the fist right away, and they got the rainbow on the back. Obama with the rainbow. Then they give you the lights. I love that one. I had a light the other day. I had a light job. It went on about four blocks. I got so mad. The guy tried to cut me off in the right lane. I wouldn't let him pass me. I just sped up. He got behind me. The lights went on right away. Always the same type. Always either somebody in a Prius or a broken down a car like a Jeep Cherokee from the 1980s. And the lights go on and he wouldn't get off my tail. I got so angry. I came to a halt in the middle of a street. You ever do that? You know, I mean, I had enough of this. It was dangerous. What am I supposed to do in that situation? Call 911 and say there's a nut trailing me with his brights on? I don't do a thing like that. So I think I'll stop the car. Let's see what happens. Nothing. He sits there with the lights on. So that's the story. That's what I live in. A mad world. It's a mad world that's getting madder. People are angrier. Now there was a shooting out here in the Bay Area today. They won't even disclose who got shot or who did the shooting. Seven people are dead at a medical school in Alameda, California. All afternoon I've been trying to find out who the shooter was. Death toll, seven in shooting spree. And it's a Christian college, by the way. You have to read the whole story to find that out. They hide that. A tiny Christian school in East Oakland Seven people are killed, and they will not disclose who did the shooting. We can only guess. The first thing in a crime story that any average person in America wants to know is who was the perpetrator. Am I right or wrong? That's the absolute truth, right or wrong? What's the first thing you ask when you hear about a shooting? Who did the shooting? That's common sense. They won't describe who it is. I don't know who it is. I don't know. How do I know who it is? Your mind races right away. Was it this? Was it that? You know, you want to know. You want to know. But, of course, the Oakland police couldn't have stopped this because they were busy evicting Occupy activists and chasing down marijuana thieves who stole something from a marijuana clinic. Pot school. You hear this? Only in the Bay Area. Pot school. Bunch of morons. Stupid idiots. Drug addicts. A bunch of drugged up morons. A bunch of drugged up morons in the Bay Area. They don't know their you-know-what from their elbow. All right, let me take callers before I say something I regret. CJ in Tyler, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. And the reason the Republican establishment does not has no endearment for Mr. Savage is because you have uncovered their nakedness. You have revealed the truth about the establishment. And Michelle Bachmann, when she would not come back on your show after you helped her, I was very disappointed in her. And if she would have come back on your show, she would have done better than she did with the debates and everything else and people.
Do you know that that her campaign died after she did that to me and I started disclosing who she was? Remember, at first I wouldn't do it. I said, look, I don't really want to undermine her, but the truth is I got angrier and angrier and I realized she was a fraud. And the minute I disclosed that, she started to plummet in the polls.
Right.
No, look, CJ, I would be remiss. Let's put it this way. Not remiss. I don't like that word. I think I'd be a liar if I said to you that I didn't have the influence I have. I do. I have an enormous audience. They're mainly the undecided. They're the exact demographic of undecided that Romney needs in order to win. And yet he's doing to me exactly what Bachmann did. And I have a terrible fear he's going to go by the same road. It's not me. They listen. In other words, CJ, you're a listener. You're a listener. You're a caller. You listen to every word on this show. And you take it in and you think about it. And I think it has an enormous impact upon the political landscape, CJ. I truly do.
It does. Absolutely right. And you were talking about the who. The five W's in journalism is who, what, where, when, and why.
Well, do you think Santorum is like mucus that sticks to a child's finger in a grade school? No matter what the kid does, he can't. I mean, the guy is starting to, you can't get rid of him. Don't you think he should disappear from the scene already?
Hey, I will disagree on that. I think they ought to go to the convention and fight it out.
All right. Now, that's interesting. Here's a man who disagrees. Why? Why do you think he should fight it out with Romney?
Well, Roosevelt won at the convention. He came out on top at the convention. It was a brokered convention. Is that what they call it? And he won.
Yeah.
So why not do it like that now? They want to wrap it up and let Romney be in there just like McCain last year, and McCain lost. Get in
there.
Okay,
so you think it would actually be you think it would be healthier then for the Republicans to argue it out and maybe move Romney off to dead center?
Yeah, and I hope Newt gets it. That's who I want, Newt.
Well, I'm not going to argue. Everyone's entitled to their candidate and their opinions, what makes for a free country. So next question. What do you think about Obama threatening the Supreme Court?
I think it's ridiculous. He does not have the authority that he thinks he does. He's usurping the authority of – he's taking all authority away from every government entity except the president. He's putting.
That's right. For those of you out there who don't know, we're living in a dictatorship with a petty Martinet in the White House. I want you to listen to this. Obama today warned the, quote, unelected group of people, that's the Supreme Court, you idiots, against overturning his signature piece of legislation, which is CastroCare. How could he call the Supreme Court the unelected group of people just because he feels that they're going to overturn CastroCare? CJ, I'm sending you a copy of, well, if you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
Trickle Down the Door. You know what it is.
Come on. No. You got to know the name. I know what it is, but do you know what it is?
Trickle Down Poverty.
You don't get it. No, sorry. No, not everyone could be a winner. It's Trickle Down Tyranny. I'm sorry. Try again tomorrow. Everyone's a winner if they remember the name of the book. Can you guys get a buzzer for me? because I'll burn my, I'll burn out the voice. I'm in a weird mood. It's like I feel like I'm living in a siege. It's like I have a siege mentality. That party I had Saturday night, it was like you don't even understand why I did this. It was my last party. A lot of things are the last in my life right now. Last book, last party. I swear, a lot of things are going on in my life right now. Last this, like Last Chance Saloon. I have a terrible, terrible foreboding about what's coming. I don't want to get into like, you know, I climbed a mountain and looked on the other side because I'm not into, I'm not into like mysticism in that regard. But I have very strong intuition. You know, I got to tell you something about thoughtfulness. It's an interesting question without giving you too much philosophy because it gets boring. People who can think and make statements that make sense, they use logic, hard logic. They use facts. Then they build upon these facts. They come up with a logical conclusion, right? But there's also another element in thoughts, in presenting thoughts, which is intuition. Because anybody could read the facts and come up with a statement. And then you have a sort of, robotic kind of bureaucrat. But if you add the intuitive to the logical, you come up with the brilliant. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. That's poetry. That is a single sentence that can live for 100 years. Do you know that? You're living through history right now, but you don't know it. Most people don't even know they're living through history. Let's take some callers. Carmine, Wisconsin, go, fire. You're up. Fire away on the Savage Nation.
And they said, can I buy the book today? And they said, no. I said, well, I'm sure today was the release date. They said, no, tomorrow's the release date. All the new books come out on Tuesday. And I says, okay, do you have the books? He says, yeah, we have the books. He said, they're waiting to be put out. And I says, okay. So you can't even take a bribe and sell me one today? He said, no. And I said, okay. He said, would you like to be put on the list? I says, well, you have a long list. He says, we most certainly do. I says, okay, put me on the list. So then I thought, well, I'll call another Barnes & Noble. Sure enough, same thing there. And I want you to know, you're on a wait list at the public library in town.
Wow. Carmine, you're in Wisconsin, which is a very Democrat state, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow. No, I'm a pessimist at the end of the day, but that's an interesting story that you just told me. Things could happen that I don't even expect, Carmine. I want to say this to my audience. This is not based on avariciousness. Anyone who really knows me knows that if the book sold 1 million copies, it wouldn't change my lifestyle. If it sold 1,000 copies, it wouldn't change my lifestyle. I'm a very humble man. My own personal lifestyle at this point is quite simple. You know what I had for lunch today? A can of salmon and a salad I made in my own house. Do you know that? I don't go to 4-star restaurants for dinner. The fact of the matter is I don't need the money. I've not written this book for the money. Many of you don't believe a word of it. I don't really care. Those who know me know what I'm saying is true. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Are any of you offended by Obama's persona? Does his arrogant demeanor bother you? That imperious face, that looking down at everybody, that sneer? How does he have the gall to call the Supreme Court this group of unelected group of people? How dare you consider overturning my law? How does it pass in this country that a man can be this arrogant and this out of touch with reality that he thinks that would go unchallenged? In fact, even The Undertaker, Orrin Hatch, who is about as middle-of-the-road Republican, he's much like in a funeral home, he reminds me. Even Orrin Hatch got his back up when he said, it must be nice living in a fantasy world where every law you like is constitutional and every Supreme Court decision you don't is activist, said Orrin Hatch. Many of us have been arguing for nearly 3 years that the federal government does not have the power to dictate individuals' purchasing decisions. After a national debate on the subject, more than 2/3 of Americans agree that the Obamacare insurance mandate is unconstitutional. But Obama the arrogant had the nerve to call the Supreme Court this group of unelected men. It should put a chill up your spine. It should frighten all of you. Now, I'm going to give out copies of Trickle Down Tyranny to everyone who gets on the air, only if you know the title of the book when I call you to say what's the name of the book, okay? And here's what you're going to hear. If you win it, you hear this. Play it. if you stumble and say trickle down tickle or trickle down stethoscope or wait, trickle down shoe, here's what you hear. Okay, so we're going to play a game on the Savage Nation. Let's take the callers, okay? You ready for this? Jacob Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Do you think the Republican Party is attracted to a weaker candidate or a weaker man, somebody that doesn't hunt or fish or maybe, you know, shoot guns?
I don't know what. It's an interesting question, which is why we put you up. It's an intriguing concept. What do you mean? They're actually afraid of, like, the Barry Goldwater was the last real conservative Republican. He was a Westerner. He flew an airplane. He was a hunter, a fisherman, right? Real Arizonan.
Yeah, a man's man.
In other words, he was a man's man without laying in a... It wasn't from Brokeback Mountain, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Santorum, it seems kind of weaselly. I mean, I'm a Republican.
No, Santorum looks like he's a genuine man, but a weasel, though. A weaselly man.
See, yeah.
Santorum looks like he's a cheat. He's starting to have that cheater's look. I don't like the constant smirk and smile that someone trained them to use. And also this constant lying. He says he's not attacking Romney when he's attacking Romney personally, regularly. Not on his policies, but ripping him day and night.
They just need to focus.
See, there's a difference between criticizing a candidate, as I do, in an attempt to goad him into taking stronger positions, and attacking the man simply to run him down. That's a very important difference. I tried to say that during the Bush years. Okay, if you name it, you gain it. What's the title of the book?
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Okay. You even got me to laugh with that. Poulet, filet, grilled lamb chops, veal piccata, grilled New York steak, two duck special, sweetbreads, rock cod. Take a guess which one I had. I had the fish. I had the fish. I always go home dissatisfied because...
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Of Sisyphus, welcome to the Savage Nation, pushing that boulder up the big hill for you every day on a daily basis. We've been having some fun during the break. I only wish that you could hear what I do with the guys during the break. It's all illegal, immoral, and fattening, believe me. But we were laughing, we were having a good time. It's true, I am 17 going on 18. There's no question about it. Emotionally, probably no older than that. And having a good time every day, whenever I can, wherever I can, truthfully. Not succeeding most of the time, but occasionally doing so. On a sad note, the 7 people were shot today at a Christian medical school, a small little school in Alameda, Oakland, California. And we just got this from the Miami Herald. Officer Johanna Watson said the suspect is an Asian male in his 40s who was taken into custody at a shopping center. She would not confirm if he was a student. Most of the wounded or dead were shot inside the building. KTVU-TV reported the shooter was a student that opened fire in a classroom. Pastor Jung Kim, who founded the school 10 years ago, told the Oakland Trib that the shooter was a nursing student who was no longer enrolled. He did not know if the shooter was expelled or dropped out. Look at this. Right away, the gun. People go to the gun. Is it the medication? I'm starting to think it's the medication, not the gun. There's no question. I mean, there were guns that were prevalent in the society for many, many decades. Not to the extent that they are now. I mean, let's not you know, gloss over the extent of the relative ease with which people can get their hands on guns. I mean, you know, don't now confuse me with a liberal, but there's a little too many floating around, to be honest with you. There's a little too many floating around in society. You can quote me on that. And you want to categorize me any way you want, you can. It's common sense, okay? Every nut now can get their hands on a gun. That's not what the law was intended for. For every lunatic to get their hand on a powerful weapon, period. Don't tell me about the Second Amendment. I know more about it than you do. Okay, there's a limit. There's a limit now. Not every nut should walk around with a loaded gun in their pocket. I love the idiot, oh, he only had a gun in his hip. That wouldn't have happened. Yeah, right, wouldn't have happened. The guy comes in blasting away with a gun. You think that a kid who has a gun is going to be able to pull it out? He'd be just as dead as the guy without the gun. Unless you're trained to react to that gunfire, you're gonna lose it in your trousers. Let's put it to you that way. It's a family show. You hear the gun go off, you're not reaching for the gun, you'll be screaming like a baby running out of the room. Everyone thinks they're John Wayne. There's other reasons too. The medication is a very big part of it. They suppress a lot of anger and rage, and then it builds up, it builds up, it builds up, and boom, it explodes. That's it. Well, don't call on this. It's not a question to call on. Not everything requires a comment from some guy in a phone booth somewhere or a cell phone, whatever. Look what's going on in this country. Obama threatens the Supreme Court, calls the Supreme Court a group of unelected group of people against overturning CastroCare. We no longer call it Obamacare. We call it CastroCare because that's what it is. That's all it is. It's CastroCare. Hillary tried to pass, you know, socialized medicine, which would have been 1/6 of the economy. With him, it's about 1/2 of the economy in about 10 years, if not more. CastroCare. You'll be playing backgammon and driving a 58 Buick if this goes through. I was sitting, what's the difference? Who came over to me? Doesn't matter. You're not interested. Can I ask you something? When Trickle-Down Tyranny comes out tomorrow, are you going to be part of a flash mob that descends on a bookstore in your area to buy the book? You know, you can go with a group. Why go in alone? Use social to networking. I don't do it myself. I don't know how it works even. I got Facebook. Doug, how many people are a member of my Facebook thing? 7,300? That's a small number. 8,500 compared to, let's say, a slut in Hollywood who exhibits herself by falling down. I have a Twitter account. I don't even know what it does. You tweet things. Why would anyone tweet there? It's like illiteracy. If you write books, what do you tweet for? Tweeting is for idiots. Beowulf, do you agree with me tweeting is for illiterates? Basically, what's a tweet? If you've got something to say, write a line, write a haiku, write a poem, write a paragraph, write a book. Don't tweet. Every moron could tweet, you know? Tweeting is for rap stars who speak 50 words of English. That's what it was invented for. But I have a Twitter account. I have a Facebook account. Sometimes I send things out to, like, you know, to let you know what articles got published somewhere. I'm proud of them. But I don't receive. I only send. I'm a universal donor. I'm a blood type O. I do not receive. I only send. I'm a blood type O. I'm in a poetic mood. I'm really, you know. You should have been at my party. I wish you could have been there, all 5 million of you that are listening at any one moment. I don't really know how many listen. They say 8 to 10 million, but it's really probably 20 million. What does that break down to AQH? 800,000 every 15 minutes, switch out a radio show? People listen for... That used to be 15 minutes. I bet you it's less now. I bet you it's no longer AQH. It's not average quarter hour. With people's attention spans today, I would say it's average quarter minute people listen. They don't listen long. Their hands on the triggers from now. I don't know what life's going to be like. It might be... I'll move to the Balearic Islands and become a calamari fisherman. Michael Savage has the world's cornered the market on squid ink. It's all organic squid ink. I'm thinking about what businesses I might go into. I'm so bored. I don't know. I don't want to open a restaurant because I hear they're the worst business in the world. Every friend of mine who ever had one says, "No, it's a cash business and a nightmare. You have to cater to people." So then I think I'll open a bar. Then you become a drunk because you have to drink with people. So that's out. Then I want to open a farm to save dogs, but that's out because I don't like dog poo. Then I want to open a farm to save horses, but I won't do that because there's flies. And I don't want to do... I neutralize every one of my ideas. Are you like me? Is that an example of something wrong with me that I keep thinking of some things I want to do and then I neutralize them and do nothing? Because right now I'm doing a daily radio show. I'm writing two books, if not three. I'm leading a life. How much more should a man do? Saw a good movie last night. It's, you know, new, lighten up. Would you please lighten up a bit? Lighten up a bit. Let it go. Easy does it. One day at a time. All of those metaphors, you know? One day at a time. Don't try to change the... Don't rock the boat. Don't push the river. None of that works for me. I tried everything ever known to mankind to slow myself down. Nothing works. Not one of those homilies works for me. I don't know about you. Everything of every little pop book ever written to slow myself... Nothing works. How could anything slow me down when I have a dictator in the White House? How could anything calm me down when I have a man who attacks the Supreme Court and calls them an unelected group of people? This should shock the most diehard liberal. Forget progressives. They're diehard communist murderers. A progressive is another word for a cowardly murderer who would like to see the state apparatus arrest people they oppose. We don't even address progressives. They're the neo-Nazis of today. The real threat to our survival are the progressives. I try to appeal to the liberals, the real liberals, who used to say, I may disagree with what you say, but I'd fight to the death your right to say it. No one believes that anymore. Nobody would fight to the death your right to say it. Nobody would. Those days are over. There are no liberals left. And just as I don't know if they're really... Well, okay, let's... I can't generalize. You can't overgeneralize. You cannot. It's impossible. You're always wrong when you generalize. So now you have the fight of fights. Because, look, Obama knows that when the Supreme Court shoots down the individual mandate, Castro care is over. They'll be dancing in the streets. Flags will be put out of windows. Horns will be blown. Car lights will be flashed across America. It will be like, oh my God, we missed that howitzer shell. We missed that neutron bomb. He almost turned us into Cuba. But the man has the nerve to say he refers to the Supreme Court as the unelected group of people. The Supreme Court? No president in modern times has ever said a thing like this. Can you imagine if George Bush had said, well, if they overturn my going to war in Iraq, let's say it came up to a vote or whatever, however you want to, and Bush would say something like, well, this unelected group of people can't overturn the law. Can you imagine what the rats in the media would have done the next second? Can you imagine? You just can't imagine. Huh? Supreme Court upholds strip searches at jails for minor offenses. Well, now maybe the president can say that this unelected group of people had no right to do that. After all, he doesn't agree with them, so they're wrong. He knows better than everybody. That's the arrogance of Obama. That's what we all see underneath that. We all fear it. We all fear this guy. He's not a president in the normal sense. This is a petty dictator. And if he's not thrown out of office, and was very, very questionable right now because of what's going on with Romney. Romney is such a weak candidate. Because he won't say anything. You don't know what he stands for. Like, if I ran for office, which I'm never going to do, I told you that, which is true, never run for dog catcher. It would have been on this campaign, borders, language, culture. That's it. Well, what do you mean by borders, language, culture, Savage? I would explain it to you. I'll tell you what it means. I could easily tell you. It's kind of self-evident what that means. Hello, you can't figure out what borders mean? You don't know what the English language means? You don't know what culture means? Well, then I can't answer your question, idiot. It's that simple. What do you mean? What do I mean? Just by asking the question, it means that you're an idiot. Okay, so what is the campaign slogan of Romney? Answer, none. There is no campaign slogan. Obama's campaign slogan is quite clear. No borders, no language, and no culture. That's all. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, you want me to get down to it and stop joking around? Some would say I'm prophetic. If I write a book called Trickle Down Tyranny, and then the day before it comes out, Obama warns the Supreme Court that they better not take the, quote, extraordinary and unprecedented step of overturning his landmark health reform law and calls them unelected. Who is right? Was I right in predicting that we have a tyrant in the White House? I'm telling you, something's wrong with the picture. Do the Supremes now need police protection? Is he warning them? This guy is very dangerous. He knows what he's doing and he knows what he's saying. How dare he challenge the, quote, unelected Supreme Court? How dare does he say, how dare you, I dare you to take the extraordinary and unprecedented step of overturning his landmark health care law? When are you going to wake up to what is going on in this country? Do you think this is acceptable for a president to comment this way? Do you? I ask you a few questions now. Does the Supreme Court now need supreme protection, police protection for them? Is he threatening them? Don't you understand what he just said here? From Madison versus Marbury in 1803 to the 2001 Supreme Court that overturned a law Congress passed. That's part of their charter. They're the third branch of government. They're supposed to have the power to check and balance the executive. This is a president who's supposed to be a constitutional expert. This is a communist. He's saying that the means justifies his end. He's saying he's the ultimate authority. The purpose of the Constitution is to limit the means the government can use to achieve its ends. This man is a clear and present danger to our survival as a participatory democracy. That's the end of democracy now. He's threatening the Supreme Court. And the media doesn't say a word about this. They still support King Obama. This should be the last straw. The bill was rammed down our throats. Nancy Pelosi forced it upon us. They did deals to make it happen. The media is complicit in the death of America. But I got to go back to something here. My book coming out tomorrow, Trickle Down Tyranny. Look, it's going to be in every bookstore in the country and in Sam's Club. Every Barnes & Noble, every bookstore. Maybe the little ones won't carry it. They carry only commie books. But the chains are all going to have it, and Sam's Club is going to have it. All of the big chains are going to have it. It's shocking to me that the day before it comes out, Obama, literally, it's like life imitating art. If you want to call my book art, then he's imitating art. He pauses during a news conference in the Rose Garden to threaten the Supreme Court, saying this group of unelected individuals, unelected men, should be careful about not overturning his landmark health reform law. Does this not tell you something? Have you ever heard anything like this in your life? Have you ever heard a president threaten a Supreme Court like this in your life? No, you haven't. You have never heard anything like this. Doesn't matter whether you like the law or don't like the law. You better not like a president who threatens a Supreme Court. Something's very wrong in this country that no one is screaming about this. This is terrifying. Atlanta, Georgia, Ron, you're up on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Listen, I want to give you a shout out here. I was coming home today, and I turned on the computer to Fox News and CNN and whatever. And the funny thing is, at 6 o'clock, the headline was about, you know, the kids being shot in California. But as you started to talk on your monologue, and you talked about how Obama was calling out the Supreme Court, it showed up in the corner. And then, as soon as you really got going at around 6:15, it showed up as a big headline. And my comment is just that even though they're banning you on that channel, they definitely listen to you and your point of view, and you bring something that nobody else does, the objectivity of not living within the political system.
Well, Ron, I believe that that's true. I happen to know of three fairly prominent individuals at Fox News who listen to the show regularly, but they're afraid of the iron shillelagh of O'Reilly. O'Reilly controls them with an iron shillelagh. There's an absolute banishment of Michael Savage because O'Reilly is threatened by my intellect, in plain English. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter to me. What's important is that people go to the bookstores and for themselves say, wait a minute, this guy must be right. He just threatened the Supreme Court yesterday. There's something to what Savage is saying. Now, if you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Okay. Okay, you win it. Now, when I come back, we have a real, real, real treat for you here on the Savage Nation. Yes, yeah, sure. Yes, yeah, shall we do you? We're going to play it for you. Real big treat for you. We do you. We're going to play it for you. We're going to do you. Do you. We're going to play the big interview from Newsmax magazine that I did over the weekend for you, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it, love it, love it. I'll be right back. So don't go away.
Savage. Hello and welcome to Newsmax TV. I'm John Bachman, and joining us now is the author of the book Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Michael Savage, it's great to have you with us today.
Well, thanks. I love being on Newsmax. What's up?
All right, well, let's talk about the title of your book. What do you mean by Trickle Down Tyranny?
Well, on New Year's Eve, while people were partying, our president passed the National Defense Authorization Act, which to this day nobody knows whether it gives him the authority to arrest people without a trial. People, some say it does, some say it doesn't, ambiguous. The other day, last week, he thought a microphone was off. He leans over and talks to Medvedev of Russia and says, after I'm reelected, I'll have more flexibility to do what? To screw Czechoslovakia and Poland? Now we wake up this morning, the Wall Street Journal reports that the president is using more executive orders than Bush did. And while he was a senator, he said, I will not abuse the executive orders. Today, his spokesmouth says, when he was a senator, he didn't know how many important things there were to do as president, so he has to use executive orders. These are just, the tip of the iceberg.
Why do you think President Obama, let's talk about that Wall Street Journal piece, why do you think the president had a change of heart once he got into the Oval Office?
It's simple. Lord Acton said it best in the 1940s when he said, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's not limited to him. We all understand that politicians are an interesting species. They're egomaniacs. They're driven to succeed. They're driven to rule other people. And so we live in a participatory democracy where those instincts, when they get out of control, are supposed to be reined in by a separation of powers, correct?
That's what we were taught. That's what we were taught in social studies anyway.
Yeah, that's the theory. So the idea of an executive order is quite worrisome in a democracy to begin with. My fear is that if you look at Mr. Obama's history, it's not a mystery. His history is not a mystery. I hate to sound like one of the reverends who don't have a degree in theology, but the fact of the matter is he has quite a history, and it ain't no mystery. What do I mean by that? You go back to his background. Do I have to mention Reverend Wright, 20 years of anti-American rhetoric, 20 years of black nationalism, a good friend of Louis Farrakhan? This makes people very uncomfortable. They don't even want to hear it. We have to hear it. He was not vetted as a candidate. Okay, so now we have 3 years of the president. What has he really done that's so wrong? Let's start with bread and butter issues. He inherited a $1 trillion deficit. Anyone can understand that. Bush was I called him a fiscal socialist, by the way. I called President Bush a fiscal socialist. Wow, what does that make me? Makes me a realist because I saw what Bush was doing. Obama now, instead of tightening the belt of our economy, has expanded it to a $3 trillion deficit. Runaway spending ends in disaster. How does it stop? Where is the give and take in all of this?
Well, let's talk about that Wall Street Journal article a second. We could backtrack because it also mentioned several other examples of presidents who faced criticism for using executive power. As voters, what should we keep in mind as we head to the polls in November of 2012, and how can we limit that pervasive use of executive power?
That's such a great question, because I've got to answer it by quoting myself without just speaking off the cuff, and it's a two-line answer. In Trickle Down Tyranny, I open the book with an amazing chapter called Advice to the Next President, and it starts like this. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. The next president must love America. Now, what do I mean by that? In all of the debates going on, have you heard anyone say they love America? Does anyone talk about our loss of honor, our diminished status in the world? To me, the honor of a nation is what's at stake. I wish Romney would show some spine and some backbone and talk about America's greatness and America's wonders. I don't hear that. All I hear is a technocrat talking about how he's going to tweak this or tweak that. I want a man of leadership. That's what we should be looking for.
Let's focus back on President Obama and his administration. Along the same lines of the Defense Authorization Act of 2012, Attorney General Eric Holder recently stated that the federal government has the authority to kill U.S. citizens without a trial, as was the case with the American-born al-Qaeda operative Anwar al-Awlaki. What was your reaction to Holder's justification for al-Awlaki's killing?
When they came for the terrorists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a terrorist. Who's next? This is a very dangerous precedent. I opposed it when it occurred. We all know Al-Awlaki was a dangerous man, anti-American. He deserved to be rounded up and tried, but he didn't deserve to be whacked like we have a mafia running the country. It's very worrisome indeed, because we don't know who tomorrow will be an enemy of the state.
Another thing you talk about in your book, of course, is President Obama's cuts to the military, and you say it's been done so to a dangerous level. The military is facing even steeper cuts with the coming sequestration. Do you think there's any way that those cuts can be avoided?
We have the smallest Navy since World War I. At the same time that China is building its aircraft carriers, building its submarine fleet, building its space capacities, building the capacity to fight a war in space, Obama not only did what you just said, but he's also eliminated NASA's moonshots. We're now passengers. Can you imagine we have astronauts sitting on a Russian rocket in our lifetime and no one even understands the implications of this? The real question is, if we get a Republican administration, can we reverse some of the damage to the military in time to protect our national interests, our national security interests? I think that's the real issue.
And I want to go back to the passage you read from your book a few moments ago. You didn't say this right then, but it follows what you said. And you say the next president needs to be the, quote, exact opposite of Barack Obama. Do you feel like any of the current Republican candidates for president fit that description?
No, none of them are the exact opposite. None of them are the visceral, in my opinion, America-loving national type of the order of Barry Goldwater. You say, well, who is he? To me, he was the greatest of all of the conservatives because he was a very balanced conservative, clearly patriotic. I remember Goldwater's statement, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. I thought that was one of the greatest campaign lines I've ever heard in my life. I don't expect to see a Goldwater in this age, but I'd like a little bit more Americanism coming from Mr. Romney, who all I hear is, if I'm elected, I'll save America. It sounds like he's running for the presidency of a high school rather than the presidency of the United States. This is the problem. Now, will I vote for Romney personally? I certainly would. Why? Because on the issue of national security alone, I would sleep better at night. On the issue of how he would deal with Islamic terrorism, I would sleep better at night. On the issue of lowering corporate and individual income taxes, I would sleep better at night. Those reasons alone are enough for me to vote for Mitt Romney. I'd just like to see a little more visceral America loving.
And do you see anybody out there, perhaps since there isn't that candidate for 2012, but perhaps for 2016 that fits that description of the exact opposite of Barack Obama?
Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump, I love Donald Trump's politics in some ways. He and I have crossed paths. I mean, I'm a member of his club, to be very clear, in Florida. I think I have to disclose that. He's not a personal friend of mine. He hasn't come over to dinner recently. But the thing is this. I called for tariffs on China 2 years ago in my last book, Trickle Up Poverty. I said we should impose a 20% tax on China-made goods. Donald Trump said the same thing about a year and a half ago. He still believes that we have to impose tariffs on China, or we're going to wind up with nothing manufactured in this country. So the answer is Donald is a very straightforward, loves the military, has pride in the country, and he's a smart businessman. What more could we ask for?
All right, there you have it from the host of Radio's The Savage Nation, Michael Savage. His book, Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America, hits bookstores on April 3rd. It's available for pre-order now on Amazon.com. Michael, thanks for talking to us.
Savage.
So listen to this. Listen to this. Please listen to this. So you heard the Newsmax interview, which was recorded Friday, where I'm talking about some of the tyrannical things that the president has done. Now it gets worse. Monday, he threatens the Supreme Court over the Castro Care bill. He takes a shot at them, they say. He calls them a group of unelected men. Have you ever heard of a president in your lifetime saying that the Supreme Court is a group of unelected men? Have you ever heard of anything like this? Have you ever heard of a threat like this? Do they now need around-the-clock police protection? Listen to what the president said. And I just remind conservative commentators that an unelected group of people would somehow overturn a duly constituted and passed law, Obama said. Have you ever heard of anything as arrogant in your life? Have you? Well, of course, the cover-up artists are already in overdrive. And they get lawyers and professors. Well, it's not that common for presidents to get in direct verbal confrontations with the Supreme Court, said Georgetown University law professor, somebody or other. But it's also not that common for the Supreme Court to threaten to override one of the president's central legislative accomplishments. That is utter rubbish. That is total rubbish. The Supreme Court has overridden many, many, many laws. Many. This is the most tyrannical president in modern history. The most divisive. And by the way, this is an interesting fact. The numbers are not big, but they doubled. They doubled since I mentioned Facebook and Twitter. They've gone to 24,000 and 14,000. 24,000 members of Facebook, 14,000 members of Twitter. So I may start tweeting. I don't know what to tweet, though. It's illiteracy for me to tweet. If I write a book that's 75,000 words, how could I reduce it to a tweet? What, wrote book? Read book? Who do you think I am, a comedian on television? Let's play the clip right now.
I just remind conservative commentators that for years what we've heard is the biggest problem on the bench was judicial activism or a lack of judicial restraint. That an unelected group of people would somehow overturn a duly constituted and passed law. Well,
he doesn't understand there's a separation of powers. This is the great constitutional professor. How did he get into college? How did this man get into law school? How did he get a law degree? That he doesn't understand there's a separation of powers. That he's not God Almighty. He's not a king. It's different branches of government, President Obama. You're not God. Well, I mean, I don't know how many different ways to say it to you. I don't know how many different ways to say it. That's why I said to you, it's the one book that can stop Obama's tyranny. Is it going to be the USA or the USS of A? Now, let's be clear. Can one book change anything? There have been books through history that have changed a lot of things. Let's start with the Bible. Now, I'm not comparing myself to God, but books have changed things. Let's come to more modern times. I remember when I grew up, there was a book, I forget the exact name of it, but it was about the scandals of the meatpacking industry. And it was written at the time by an author whose name I forget again, but he exposed the scandals of the meatpacking industry, the adulterated food, and it led to the passage of the Pure Food and Drug Act, one book. Or Rachel Carson's book, The Silent Spring, where she, just the title alone, said it all. Remember The Silent Spring, if you were old enough person to remember it? What does that mean? Oh, well, it means you're going to wake up one day and there will be no birds because they will have died from DDT and other pesticides. That led to the curtailment of the spread of pesticides in the food chain. Phenomenal book, very important. There were many other. These are the first two that come to my mind. So if I say to you a title is as important as anything else, does trickle-down tyranny say it to you? Does it say it all? It's as good as The Silent Spring. Because just as I tell you, we feared that there would be a silent spring when the birds stopped chirping because they all would have died from the pesticides in the environment, we could wake up to a tyrant in this country who no one can further control. It could happen. And that is an absolute reality because it's not just him. It's anybody who becomes a president has the potential to become a tyrant, some more so than others. Some have more instincts towards tyranny than others. There's no question about that. But this man has evidenced to us that he'd like to rule with absolute authority on many occasions. He passes one executive order after another in the middle of the night. That's number one, more so than Bush did. And that's as he was senator. He accused Bush of being a tyrant because he said he will not use the executive order the way Bush did. And now he's using it more so. One after the other. Today, it's almost like God's hand moved his mouth. It's almost like God's hand moved the president's mouth. Listen to how he even says it in an almost hesitant way. Listen to how he forms his words. Play it again, Sam. Listen
carefully.
I just
remind conservative commentators that for years what we've heard is the biggest problem on the bench was judicial activism or a lack of judicial restraint. That an unelected group of people would somehow overturn a duly constituted and passed law.
He calls the Supreme Court an unelected group of people like they're just a flash mob at a discotheque. Can you believe this? Can you believe that these pesky checks and balances are standing in the way of this man? He believes the Constitution is obviously obsolete. He believes that these pesky checks and balances have no place in a modern society. This is who you have in the White House now. This is what you did. This is what you progressives have done to this country. You've put a tyrant in the White House. And he's a tyrant on a minor scale, by the way. Petty tyrant, petty dictator. Not yet total, you know, not absolute power. But make no mistake about it. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Make no mistake about it. We have a man with who would like absolute power. And the whole object of our constitutional democracy is to curtail these instincts. So he uses language like this. He threatens the Supreme Court. He calls them this unelected group of people. That doesn't scare you? Chris in Florida, how do you feel about the president warning this unelected group of people against striking down CastroCare?
I actually have a theory on it. You know, the initial vote actually happened this past Friday. So what I'm thinking happened is Kagan somehow tipped off that the vote didn't go too well. So now Obama's going to use this, you know, Tea Party court talk and unelected talk because he's going to demonize the court. And he's going to use it as a whipping up his base opportunity for the election.
Wait. So in other words, she told him how it went since she was never qualified to begin with. She's basically his spy inside the Supreme Court, his puppet. So how does he win by saying a thing like this? Is this a campaign slogan? Is that it?
Well, what he's going to do is it's one of two things. He's going to use it to, like I said, whip up his base to try to get, you know, to Tea Party court, you know, demonize the court, make it look out it's a right-wing court. Or he's going to try to change your mind of a Kennedy or a Roberts in the meantime by putting this.
Okay, so they're still debating it. I see. Okay. So in other words, he's threatening the center. By the way, during his meeting today with the president of Mexico and president of Canada in the Rose Garden, he did not talk about the fact that he killed the Keystone XL oil pipeline from Canada's oil sands in Alberta to the U.S. Gulf of Mexico. You know that he destroyed that. It would have been the greatest job creation and U.S. energy creation in our history, and he destroyed that. You know that he didn't even talk about that? And by the way, the president of Canada was so disappointed that he visited China in February to explore alternatives like sending the oil to their port in Vancouver and shipping it to China. Because remember this, Canada has the world's third largest oil reserves, more than 170 billion barrels, right after Saudi Arabia and Venezuela. And Obama said, we don't want it. What does that tell you about this man's fanaticism and the fact that he is an academic wed to this psychosis of alternative energy, which is 20 to 50 years away from us right now? I'm sending you a copy of what? If you name it, you gain it.
Trickle down tyranny.
Okay, you're a winner. A winner. Now, I can't go on and on, but it's as though God moved this man's hands, and the way he said it is very worrisome unto itself. He almost stumbled over his description of the Supreme Court in his diminution of them, calling them an unelected group of people. I've never heard a president refer to the Supreme Court in that manner. Have you ever heard that? And then he lies and he says that this law was passed by a strong majority of a democratically elected Congress. That's absolute rubbish. Nancy Pelosi used every trick in the book. They used every terror tactic known to mankind. They cheated. They bought votes. It was something that was embarrassing. And right now, two-thirds of the American people oppose the individual mandate. This is a president that is dangerously out of step, not only with the American people, which is a fact, but he is dangerously out of step with the Constitution itself. Think about that. When you go to the bookstore tomorrow, you're buying a piece of history. I'm asking you to help me stop Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. I'll be right back on your local affiliate right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The most shocking story today is that Obama has warned the Supreme Court against striking down Obamacare, the Cuban-style dictatorship. I cannot believe what I'm looking at. The president has warned the Supreme Court, calling them an unelected Supreme Court. And he said, you have no right to strike down the law. Can you believe this? Well, that's the world you're living in. When I said to you that we're living in a tyranny, you didn't believe me. When I said to you Obama's a petty dictator, you didn't believe me. When I told you the man has passed one executive order after another in the middle of the night while you partied, you didn't believe me. I wrote Trickle-Down Tyranny because I need you to send the message by carrying that book around from now through the election. That's what it's all about. But there's more to this story than just meets the eye of Obama warning the Supreme Court against striking down his communist health care law. There is also the issue of the Republican establishment media complex. That's right. You see, it's an interesting fact that my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, comes out in what is probably the worst time for conservative books in years. I spoke to someone very high up in the publishing world today, and he said that conservative books are taking a big hit right now. And this is at the same time that the Tea Party is fading into insignificance, and the Republican Party is more divided than it's ever been. Why is this? Well, given the fact that Obama is the most unpopular president of the modern era, given his huge popular rejection at the polls in 2010, given the massive unpopularity of his signature legislation, Communist Obamacare, this should be the strongest possible time for Republicans and conservative books. And yet both are faring poorly. Well, why is that? Could it be that the vast majority of Republican candidates, like the vast majority of conservative books, have no real message? Could it be that most in both categories have nice covers but no real content on the inside, empty pages, empty suits? Could it be that the nice empty suits of the Republican Party are mirrored by empty pages in the so-called conservative media? I'll let the Savage Nation decide. What is real clear is that real conservative books do not get play in the so-called conservative media. Books by true conservatives are not reviewed by The Golfer, not reviewed by Fox News, not reviewed by Breitbart. That is because there is a Republican establishment media complex that will actively promote members of its own club, yet refuse to promote real conservatives like Michael Savage. But the Republican establishment media complex, though it claims to represent conservatives, really represents nothing but the establishment and its own self-serving interests. Real conservatives, such as Michael Savage, need not apply. Why has the Republican establishment media complex blacklisted Michael Savage? Because time and time again I revealed them to be just as complicit in the meltdown of our nation as the Demon Cats. The Republican mainstream media is just as damaging as the Democrat mainstream media. You must stand up to both. You must stand up to the duplicitous media duopoly. Show them that you reject their stranglehold on America and American politics by flooding bookstores Tuesday when Trickle-Down Tyranny is released. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of this monologue. You need to listen to some of this audio, including Bill Ayers saying he's going to end capitalism.
I get up every morning thinking, today I'm going to make a difference. Today I'm going to end capitalism. I go to bed every night disappointed, but I'm back again tomorrow. And that's the only way you can do it. And I think you have to have a smile on your face, a song in your heart, news humor, news art. Go for it.
And here's Senator Charles Bigfoot Schumer, saying the Supreme Court overturning Obamacare would be an activist mode, stealing words from the conservative movement. Turnabout is fair play, isn't it, Chuck?
The bottom line is that there is a broad tradition of support for extension of the Commerce Clause, as I mentioned, as recently as 2005, a very broad case.
Yeah, but there are two cases truly, in the 90s, you know, that reined in the Commerce Clause, correct? The Lopez and the Morrison case.
Yeah, but those are the Lopez case, that was in 2000s, but it's totally different. And that's because it had no effect on interstate commerce. If you want to make a law about a gun near a school, That doesn't affect interstate commerce. Healthcare, of course, does. It's 16% and 16.5% of the economy. If they were to throw out the healthcare law, things like Medicare, Social Security, food safety laws could be in jeopardy on the very same grounds. It would be a dramatic 180-degree turn of the tradition of the Commerce Clause.
Finally, you need to listen to former President Bill Clinton saying that the healthcare arguments have been unusually politicized. That's really a joke.
Was an unusually politicized discussion, I thought. Actually, no one knows yet about whether how well it's going to work because it's just now being implemented. But I don't think it was unconstitutional in any way, shape, or form. Even in the 1790s, there were mandates. George Washington mandated that shipping companies insure their employees. He signed a bill mandating that able-bodied citizens have firearms in their homes because they thought the British were coming again. To me, it's hard to take the constitutional argument seriously, so I think there's a little more politics in it.
Welcome to the Savage Nation website, which is michaelsavage.com. It's the home of the Savage Nation. Look, if Romney stood for something, you'd know what it is by now, right? What is his campaign slogan? No one knows. What is my campaign slogan? Borders, language, culture. Very simple, very clear. So let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what's up there today, as millions of you do every month. The Conservative Beacon wrote a review saying that trickle-down tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama. And I'm not going to read you the article. I want you to read it. Flash mob the bookstores. Demand your copy on Tuesday. You know what flash mob means? I want seniors, little old ladies in gray hair, to use social media, social networks on their iPhones to make other little old ladies with gray hair go to the bookstores and say, we'll be at the Fifth Street bookstore Tuesday at 3 o'clock to demand trickle-down tyranny. Meet us there. I want 50 women with umbrellas screaming in bookstores around America to demand copies of Trickle-Down Tyranny be displayed up front and to buy the copies on sale tomorrow. Because truthfully, it's the one book we need to stop Obama before we may lose all of our constitutional rights. Newsmax did an article and a TV piece, where saying, I wish Romney would show some spine. Savage wants Romney to talk about big ideas for America. Have you heard any yet? Here's some good news. The most liberal court in the land, the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels, has upheld the California affirmative action ban, which I worked very hard for over 10 years ago. It's the illegal aliens who want it to be thrown out. They just got slapped in the face by the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels, believe it or not. Do you think Obama's liberal now? Watch what he'll do if he wins. Wait till you see. Oscar-winning actress calls for the exclusion of Israeli theaters, but okays China's dictatorship. She says China's national theater is okay, but the Israeli theater called Habima is not kosher. Did you hear this? What else is new? British anti-Semitism? Do you think she invented it? Just because she smiles and she has a nice body, does that make her intelligent and good? Thailand. Muslims are on the warpath, bombing and killing, trying to take over Thailand. Cuban protests are beaten for shouting freedom. Really? How does Andrea Mitchell think about that? Bottom left, michaelsavage.com. Egyptian father throws daughter in Nile over a marriage. Freak wave smashes yacht, injures crew. If you'd like to hear me talk tonight when I'm off the air, go to the bottom left of michaelsavage.com and you'll hear an excerpt from Trickle Down Tyranny. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
For the last century, the Commerce Clause has been regarded as a ability of the federal government to do many things. The height was the Wickard case back in 1942, 70 years ago, never been repudiated, where they told a farmer that he couldn't grow as much wheat as he wanted. As recently as 2005 in the Raich case about medical marijuana, Justice Scalia himself confirmed this case. The bottom line is that there is a broad tradition of support for extension of the Commerce Clause, as I mentioned, as recently as 2005, a very broad case.
Yeah, but so, there yes, are two cases truly, in the 90s, you know, that reined in the Commerce Clause, correct? The Lopez and the Morrison case.
Yeah, but those are the Lopez case, that was in 2000s, but it's totally different. And that's because it had no effect on interstate commerce. If you want to make a law about a gun near a school, That doesn't affect interstate commerce. Healthcare, of course, does. It's 16% and 16.5% of the economy.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat, that you couldn't stop eating if, after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
Humorous, I think, relates to my father. You may remember that my father, George Romney, was president of an automobile company.
This game is not over. March Madness, what happens if your team doesn't win? Well, wait a minute, let's have the game.
Until Mitt Romney has 1,144 locked down solidly, I owe it to the people that have helped me for the last year to represent their views and their values. And I find it fascinating. None of you guys would call a football team or a basketball team and say, gee, why don't you drop out?
And I'm live on the Savage Nation playing with my old instant replay machine dating back to the 1700s. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Can't hear me on the mic? You want me to raise the volume? How's that? Can you hear me now, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation? Yeah, I'm in a crazy mood today. Really, I've had enough of this. If I have to listen to Romney saying nothing, and Pelosi saying nothing, and Gingrich saying nothing, while the world is burning and the country is melting down from the most incompetent president in American history, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm playing with old equipment today. I found the instant replay machine that I've had for, I don't know, since the beginning of radio, 95, 96. I'm in one of my studios, one of my hidden locations. I have seven studios in various parts of the country. And I move around for various reasons. Number one is I'm an antsy kind of guy. That's an old word for a condition that they describe as medical today called ADD. In my day, it was called intelligence. Today, it's defined as an illness. As you well know, intelligence is defined as an illness by the medical establishment to make certain that you can continue to elect imposters like Obama. And so, therefore, I begin today with the most important story of the day, which is that one of my favorite sandwich stores, Subway Sandwiches, in San Francisco, has eliminated the $5 foot-long sandwich because the cost of doing business is too high. You see, in San Francisco, the psycho-liberals have raised the minimum wage to $10.24 an hour. Now, you may say, that's not a lot of money. That helps the poorest of the poor. Well, really? Now the poorest of the poor who were buying sandwiches at Subway will be unable to buy a sandwich for $5 because the morons in San Francisco can't pave a road going to the Golden Gate Bridge and can't get rid of a sheriff arrested for spousal abuse have figured out that by raising the minimum wage, you help the poor by hurting the poor. I'm going to ask you another weird question, which I didn't ask a question yet. What are your I was thinking about something to do other than the news. I want to talk about something a little different, if you don't mind. And that is this. What are your favorite? I want to talk about the changing media landscape. We know that everything's changing in the media. And unless you know which way the wind blows, you're actually not going to be part of what's coming in this country. For example, we all know the story of the silent movies, and then they became talkies, right? And many silent actors said, oh, those talkies, they'll never take off. People don't want to hear actors talk. Well, it's the same with the internet radio. It's the same with websites. The world's changing around us. Many people don't even understand this. So I want to ask you this. It's a leading question in some ways. What are your favorite news websites other than michaelsavage.com? I'm not doing this to get you to say my website. Other than my website, where do you go for your news? On the web now. And number two, which news websites have you stopped going to and why? That's an equally important question. And what are the best and worst news websites available today? That's another important question. Here's another one. Do you still read a physical newspaper? Now, that's an interesting statement, physical newspaper. That means something of newsprint that leaves ink on your fingers. And if so, which one do you read and why? Or have you stopped reading a physical newspaper? That's not about having good digestion, but have you stopped reading a physical newspaper and why? Do you find the... You want me to go on? Here's another one. Do you still read paper books, books with covers and paper, or have you switched to buying e-books? When did you switch and why? Finally, and this is the most important question to me because I'm going to give you a piece of data that you're probably not aware of, would you download the e-book version of Trickle Down Tyranny? See, all roads lead to Trickle Down Tyranny. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. A little old sound to get you going here. The circus of the media. Let's go to the callers right off the bat. Let's begin in New York City. Now, before I go to New York City, I got to tell you something else. I was walking around San Francisco today. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the microphone, as they used to say. After work, I go to a certain Italian restaurant, not in the city, and I've been having a lot of beer and pizza because I'm trying to gain weight. I want to see what a weight gain diet would feel like. So I'm doing the opposite of what most people are doing. I'm packing on the carbs. I never felt better. So I'm drinking like a pint of beer and eating a pizza with the dog next to me. A guy came up to me last night. See, this is the problem. I don't know the guy, and he makes believe he's my friend, and he starts talking to me. He drove me so crazy. I had to leave the restaurant. I said, you know, you're a big pain in the you-know-what. And the guy made believe, he inveigled his way next to me. Oh, you remember me from 6 years ago. Remember me? Yeah, I'm the gardener. Yeah, the gardener who gave you a bid and you didn't use my service. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea. He said, don't you remember me? My wife is Israeli. He said, remember you told me why you didn't move to Israel because everyone was smarter than you? I said, no, I don't remember that. He said, well, you said it. I remember it. One of those people. And he wouldn't leave me. Now, I understand why people have bodyguards, because this guy should have been thrown out of the... I mean, he was bothering me.
Savage.
Tuesday, tomorrow, is the release of the most important book I've ever written, and founder and managing editor of the Conservative Beacon, Josh Price, has written an outstanding review of my best-selling book, Trickle Down Tyranny. He joins us right now in the Savage Nation to discuss it. Josh Price, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Josh, tell my audience why you think Trickle Down Tyranny is the blueprint to defeat President Obama at the polls.
Well, I think it's the blueprint for defeating Obama, partly because of the times that we're living in. There's a great paragraph in Trickle Down Tyranny, I forget exactly what page it's on, but where you very succinctly state the case against Obama. You put forth his record where we now have a national debt that's greater than the GDP. We have a record number on food stamps. You look at our AAA rating being downgraded for the first time in history. That's Obama's record. That's what he has to run on. And unfortunately, a lot of Republicans, at least the current crop of so-called frontrunners, they seem afraid to point that out. And I make the point in my review of Trickle Down Tyranny that all they've got to do is run on that paragraph right there. And that's not to mention, of course, Obama's assault on our individual and economic liberties. But that's his record right there. And I feel like you go into great detail and only a way that you can in the book, and I certainly don't have time to get into it. But I think that's how you have to attack Obama, is you've got to be blunt. You have to be non-Pollyannish. You know, a lot of your colleagues in the conservative media, they want to be blindly optimistic. And I know you get criticized for being overly cynical, but in all honesty, before you can fix the country and get it headed in the right direction, you've got to accurately admit and analyze where we're at. And I feel like by stating where we're at economically, what Obama has done to our individual freedoms, hopefully Obamacare is going to get struck down. That's the first step in defeating this would-be dictator.
Well, what do you think the impact of this book will be, given the fact that I'm blacklisted?
I think the impact, as I said at the end of my review, I think the impact of this book has the potential, and I hope that it has this effect, to be not only another New York Times bestseller for you, but I feel like this book, and this is not hyperbole, this book has the potential to save this country. If the leader that emerges from the Republican Party runs on some of the things that you put forth in trickle-down tyranny, first thing that comes to mind is the next president's got to love America. If the next president loves America, returns us to the constitutionalism that we were founded on, the idea that America is great, is exceptional, if your book helps defeat Obama, then trickle-down tyranny becomes much more than just a best-selling book. It becomes almost a national relic that helps save this country and get it back going in the right direction.
In your opinion, what is the most important sentence or section of trickle-down tyranny?
In all honesty, Michael, I think the most important part of the book is you calling for a new modern Declaration of Independence, and really more broadly, listing out the usurpations of Barack Obama. I think it's profoundly important to, as I mentioned a moment ago, state where we're at as a country, not sugarcoat it. We need to realize that America is no longer exceptional, at least not in the Tocqueville, Ronald Reagan sense. We are now exceptional in the sense that we were once a national superpower that is headed down a course to where we resemble a lesser developed country on our way to a third world status run by a puppet dictator. The most important part is recounting the abuses of Obama's power, the widespread tyranny that his administration is undertaking, and what we must do to get rid of it.
Why do you think trickle-down tyranny is the last hope for this country?
I absolutely do. I think that, as only you can do, Michael, you, in a non-Pollyannish way, and I think I actually wrote that in the review, that exact word, you succinctly state what's wrong with the country, but then you don't stop there. You offer solutions, which you do in almost every book. But this one, I think, we hear it every election cycle that this election is the most important election. This election will define how, what shape this country takes for generations to come. Look, it is not hyperbole in this instance. I honestly believe, Michael, that our country hangs in the balance with this election. This election is probably, scratch that. This election is the most important election that we have faced. Our country hangs in the balance. Our freedoms hang in the balance. Our way of life hangs in the balance. Everything is at stake in November.
Well, how is trickle-down tyranny different from others like it? I mean, spell it out.
Well, I think trickle-down tyranny is different from similar books in that it has your bluntness in it. And I know that's a theme that I've mentioned several times, but it's extremely important. It's something that can't be understated. Far too often, even in the conservative media, we have to deal with political correctness, or we have to deal with language that's sugarcoated because we don't want to offend somebody, or we don't want to lose advertisers, or we, you know, whatever the case may be. But there comes a point in time, and we're at it right now, where you can't mince words. And I certainly know that, you know, being a huge fan of the Savage Nation and having listened to it for, gosh, probably 5, 6, 7 years now, you don't mince words. And so I wouldn't expect you to mince words in this book, and you don't. That, to me, is what separates trickle-down tyranny from all the imposters.
Where can we read more?
Michael, you can check us out over at the conservativebeacon.com. It's a little blog/podcast that I've got going. You know, saving this country is important to me. Returning it to traditional conservative values is what it's all about. And I just hope that, that we can do our part to get this country headed in the right direction, because even though I believe we're America's not exceptional at the moment, we can certainly get back there. But it's going to take one heck of an effort, and it's going to take all of us being actively engaged and constantly trying to get better and persevering through the mainstream media, the politicians like Barack Obama. We've got to persevere and recognize what we're fighting for and the importance of that.
Josh Price, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. It's been a real honor to be a guest on your show. I would just encourage all of your listeners to visit me over at the conservativebeacon.com, where we're trying to restore the idea of American exceptionalism.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. You know, watching what's going on in Syria, all of the people killed by Assad, this is not a Holocaust that occurred in World War II. No one did anything. And you're now living through the beginnings of an Arab Holocaust going on through the Arab Crescent. And you don't do anything. Where's Hillary, by the way, now that her big plan blew up in her face? This is the greatest disaster in foreign policy in history, and the media doesn't talk about it. From Libya across the Arab Crescent, people are dying because of George Soros's money, Jimmy Carter and Zabrinsky's architecture, Hillary Clinton's PR. People are dying across the Arab Crescent. I'm telling you, I can see it for what it is. She thinks she's going to be president? I don't think so. Imagine that. If you think Obama is bad, who would be worse, Obama or Hillary Clinton? I mean, we've lived through this regime now for 3 years, and we're all living, you know, in terror, fear that this imposter will be elected again, where our worst enemies are praised and our allies stiffed, where poverty is rewarded and success is punished, where the military is being downsized and used as a pawn, where our border has descended into absolute chaos, while corporations and cronies like General Electric make off with all of the wealth. Why did I write Trickle-Down Tyranny? I'm trying to have you stop this emerging dictatorship before we all lose our constitutional God-given rights. So let's go to the callers, if you don't mind. New York, WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. As a religious person, I'm ashamed ever to be caught calling on to Rupert Murdoch's
president. Brian, I don't understand. You know, I don't know what you're saying. What is it?
As a religious person, I'm embarrassed to be seen on Rupert Murdoch's print, such as Fox News.
Okay, so what do you read instead?
I read news aggregators such as, I guess, Drudge and those types of websites.
Like when you wake up in the morning, what's the first website you go to, is my question. If you don't mind, I realize it's difficult to talk radio being what it is today, but yeah. No, what is the first website you go to in the morning? I'll be honest, I get up in the morning, I go onto my site, and I go onto Drudge. I go onto a few other sites. I can tell you what's in my bar there, the favorites. Well, each studio has different ones. They're loaded in. I read the New York Post, but it's gotten so awful. It has gotten so awful on I don't know what the Post has become. There's almost no news. It's all about some fat girl with big lips and who she's divorcing or screwing. I've never seen anything like it. It's incomprehensible what Murdoch has done to the news. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, look, it went downhill once he hired the Leprechaun. We understand that. The Leprechaun came from Entertainment Tonight and then posed as a newsman. He has a big audience, admittedly. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that I have to worship at his throne. And he dictates who gets on the network. So good luck to him. Here in the Bay Area, we have a website for the San Francisco area, the worst in history. It used to be average. There's nothing there. There's no news. Nothing. It's either about a restaurant or a donut or someone hit by a bicycle, you know, or the 30 best places for pizza. No one has ever seen anything like this.
You've got mail.
Again, see, I didn't shut the computer. If I tell you what calls I'm getting, robocalls. I'm addicted to the computer like most of you. See, I hear I got mail. I can't see. I can't wait to see who it is. It's usually nothing. I sent a... do you read hardcover or do you read softcover? Where are the news stories of today? I buried them already. You want to hear what I got waiting for you? Here they are. No Subway $5 footlongs in San Francisco because the cost of doing business is too high. You hear this? I mean, so they take the sandwiches that poor people are buying and they eliminate them to tell you they're helping the poor. It's like you got to kill for peace. That's San Francisco's liberals for you. You hear this? I'm a fan of Subway. I don't eat there every day, but would I want to be anonymous and be left alone? I get the footlong. I get a footlong. I cut it in half. I eat it for lunch. No one bothers me. I sit and look at the pigeons. And sometimes at night I eat the other half. I feel like I'm cheating the system. It's like cheating the system in Las Vegas to eat a footlong sandwich. No more in San Francisco. You hear? $10.24 minimum wage plus health care on another dollar. Health care on everything you buy. You know, if you spend 10% on top of everything you buy for a health care bill. No. So to help the poor, they've hurt the poor. Do you think race relations are better or worse under Obama? How about that for an incendiary question? Do you think race relations are better or worse under Barack Obama? You know, you have to understand what's going on. I've said he's the most divisive president in history. You know it's true. New York, Pauline, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike. Regarding books, I always like to get a hardcover book versus a Kindle. I find, like, the Kindle is too sterile. I like to feel the book. I like to look at the pages, turn them. So I always...
Well, it's the same with me, truthfully. The books I read, I get in them a hardcover edition, number one. I don't like paperback. They're too small for me. Of course, on an airplane, I mean, you know, obviously a small paperback is better. But a lot of people on planes are using the electronic editions because they can have so many books in there with no weight and this and that. So I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny in hardcover with delicious pages. Each one is fully dissolvable in a cup of tea, and they taste great. Look at this. I'm holding like a – it's like the Gutenberg Bible, what's coming in this world. 323 pages with references. To me, I grew up on books. So to me, if it's not a printed book, it's not a book, you know? And you know, I can't understand the Kindle that well. I know 30% of my sales, by the way, are electronic, incidentally. Whether you really get the royalty, who really knows? You know what I mean? How do you know when with the downloading and the transferring? You don't really know. I have a great chapter in here. I'm going to read you the opening chapter, a sentence. Bear with me. I know you don't want to hear me read, but you got to hear this. You'll see how smart I am. Chapter 3, Tyranny of the Government Media Complex. And, you know, it sounds catchy. And if there was nothing new in here, I would say don't talk about the book. There's a lot new in here, and it's very important. So let me read this opening to you, and tell me if you think there's anything new in this. Tyranny of the Government Media Complex, Chapter 3 of Trickle Down Tyranny, my brand new book. Here's what I write. I am no friend of Rupert Murdoch, and the dislike is mutual. The media baron who owns the Fox News Channel, the Wall Street Journal, and many other newspapers and television outlets in the United States, the UK, Australia, and Asia doesn't like me. Fox News doesn't cover my speeches or follow up on the scoops on my radio show. I'm never invited to appear on its cable news network. I could drop dead and Murdoch wouldn't care, and I don't owe Fox or Murdoch anything either. Like I said, I'm not a friend of Murdoch, and it is not my job to write a legal defense of that strange media mogul. I just call them as I see them, without fear or favor. Yet in the interest of fair and balanced... yet in the interest of a fair and balanced assessment of the news, I think it's time to put certain aspects of the media war into a fresh perspective, one that you haven't heard anywhere before because no one else dares to tell you the truth like I do, and show you how the media elite and the federal government are conspiring to take away your rights. I'm talking about the tyranny of the government media complex. In his last days in office, President Eisenhower warned the nation about the gathering strength of the military-industrial complex. As a career U.S. Army officer and former Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, His warning was sincere and powerful. In March 98 at the famous Commonwealth Club of San Francisco, I warned the public about the growing power of the government media complex. Like Eisenhower, I know what I'm talking about, and I have the guts to say it. And so I then go on. I'm not going to read you every word, and I'm not going to read you my speech, but now I'm going to get up to where we are today, where I say, and today the government media complex is more dangerous and more powerful than ever. In a moment, I will show you how irrefutable evidence that the so-called mainstream media wouldn't dare report. But first, let's take a tour of the government media complex, the new Pravda. When I was a kid in the 1950s, journalists and government officials didn't go to school together, marry each other, or go into business together. Journalism was a working-class trade, and there were few Ivy League graduates in the newsroom. For that matter, most journalists didn't even go to college, much less major in journalism. Journalists started out on a beat. They covered City Hall or the police department and worked their way up from there, with hard-nosed editors questioning everything that they wrote. That experience, which often lasted for decades before they were promoted, shaped them into a skeptical jury of ordinary citizens with extraordinary access and information. By the time they made it to Washington, they weren't impressed by senators, ambassadors, or presidents. They had covered politicians for decades and knew the breed well. They were suspicious, even hostile. They knew that they were the People's Intelligence Service and had to be tough to earn their readers' trust. And they enjoyed catching the politicians trying to pull a fast one. Today, journalists go to Ivy League schools and start in Washington, D.C. They attend the same schools they send their kids to. More to the point, they attend the same schools as government officials. They socialize with politicians and brag about them coming to dinner parties in their homes.
Savage.